Well, thank you, worship team. Thank you, Nicole, for sharing. That was great. I hope you have continued opportunities to share and get that message out about God's power, God's sovereignty. Well, this morning, kind of to keep in flow with everything else that's going on, I'm going to call an audible, and we're changing the sermon. So we're not having the having God's eyes based on numbers. We're going to do something a little different. And this comes out of a conversation on Thursday. I was down in the food pantry, and it was a little slower day. There's a discussion happening about, well, how do we know what God's calling us to? How do we know if it's God's voice or if it's our own voice? And how do we do that? And as I was thinking about that, I was like, that's a very important question. That's something that we need to be talking about. That's something that we need to be learning and working through as a group. And so I said, well, I figured let's talk about that on Sunday morning. And so this morning, basically, we just want to walk through what I think is, as I've thought about that since Thursday, of traits of God's call. What if you're experiencing a call of God in your life? And this is, again, we talked a little bit about this last week. We're thinking corporately. We're thinking about us as a whole congregation, because we have this question on the table with our congregation and four other congregations in the area: is God calling us to combine? Is God calling us to a different sort of future than what we may have imagined? So we have that very important question on the table. And so obviously that's part of what we're talking about, and that's kind of why we're talking about this. But it's also important individually. So hopefully some of these things we talk through is something individually. You know, what is God calling you to as an individual? What is God calling me to? What is God calling us to? And so as we talk about these things, we think first individually, but then as we individually do this, it spills over into the whole, into a corporate discernment as what we're in. And that's what we'll be doing on Wednesday. We'll be praying and discerning together as we have been praying and discerning individually. And so traits of a call of God. Tips for discernment. So as we discern and as we work through and as we pray, here are some traits that I think that are important as we think of, okay, is this God's voice? And I basically just came up with a list. And this is a list. I've tried to order them in order of importance. So some of the ones towards the bottom may not be deal breakers, because it kind of gets, that could be God's voice or it could be something else. So it's kind of order of importance. So we'll go down through the list here. Let's start with the prayer, and then we'll tackle this list. Dear God, we have a big question on the table for us as a congregation, what our future will be like and who our future will be with. But Lord, we all have big questions for individuals as well. So Lord, as we look at trying to discern what your voice is, I pray that you would make that clear to us individually, and you would make that clear to us as a congregation, so that we can follow in your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's tackle this list. If you want to take notes, we made an overhead for you. If not, or I should offer this. I probably should have said this way back when. If I ever have an overhead and you don't really like taking notes, but you like having notes, I can email this to anybody. So if anyone asks me, I can send you the email, these lists, and if that's easier for you to listen so you don't have to write, I can do that. So feel free to ask me for that. So the number one thing is, and we're hearing God's voice, we have to ask, is it biblical? Is it biblical? And this is something, I mean, this is number one of importance, and this can be applied to all the different things we talk about, all the different traits. None of them can contradict this first one. Anything else that we've talked about later in the list, it can't contradict the very first one, and is it biblical? And this is a little easier to apply to an individual than it is to a group, especially when we have a very specific question on the table when we're talking about, should we combine? You know, the Bible doesn't really say anything real specific. You know, yes, this is how churches should do it. And so it's kind of hard to apply this, is it biblical, thing to it. But it's also the most important, but it can be the most difficult to apply. But it's also for individuals, it's very important. When you feel a sense of God's call, I mean, everything we do in our life needs to be put through here. It needs to be understood through the Scripture. It needs to be bounced off Scripture. It needs to be according to Scripture. And so this is much more easy to apply to individuals. If you think, you know, if God's calling you to something, well, God will never call you to something that is contrary to what He lays out in the Scripture. And so a lot of, you may seem silly, but you think, well, God might be calling me to do something, you know, some type of thing that would be sinful. Obviously, no. God's not going to ever call you into sin. You know, you may be in a place of temptation, but God is not the one tempting you. You know, so God is not going to ask you to do something that's sinful, even if you have something that seems like a very strong voice inside of you telling you to do something, or very strong external voices telling you to do something, if it's ever against Scripture, we can't do it. So that's our primary one. And basically all the rest of these points come from how we understand Scripture. So number one, is it biblical? Number two, is it inward and outward? For the call of God, I think there needs to be that inward and there needs to be that outward. There needs to be an inward call to something that you feel, and then there needs to be that outward affirmation, the different things that you see happening around you that kind of confirm that. So the inward can be a lot of different ways. I mean, it would be great if it was an audible voice from God, and we see that happening in the Scripture. It hasn't happened for me personally, and I haven't talked to many people personally that have heard a very audible voice saying, you should go here and do this. So that's the exception. It's certainly not impossible. We know it has happened, and it still does happen. But a lot of times we kind of feel more of an inward pull, and a little bit of a call, or you know, however we'd want to describe that. But we just feel something inside of us. So we have that inward pull, and then that is confirmed with the outward, with other people that are saying the same thing, with other people that are affirming that in us, or seeing that happening within us. And so that's something that needs to be that inside and outside, both the individual and the communal. It's very important that when we discern God's will, it happens within a community. It's not just you individually, because as individuals, it's very hard to sometimes determine if we're following our own selfish ambition or if we're following something that God is calling us to. And that's the very important thing is about being a community. And that's why it's so important to have very close friends that are Christians that can speak into your life and saying, yeah, I understand how deep this desire is for you, but I'm not sure that that's a godly desire. I mean, we need people that can speak that into our lives and hold us accountable and to encourage us. So that goes both ways. We also need those people that can say, hey, I see these gifts in you. I see this potential in you. Have you ever thought about this? And that might be something that you've never had that inward pull. You've never had that inward desire. You've never had anything. But when that person says that thing, all of a sudden that seed is planted. And that inward desire grows and grows. And so you have that back and forth. And so we need both the inside and the outside. Now, kind of something that I think is a little unique to our Mennonite history, and I would say all Anabaptist history, like Amish and Apostolic would probably fall in line with this, is that if there is a conflict between the inward and the outward, if there's a conflict between what you're feeling individually and what your community is sensing, within the Anabaptist tradition, the community gets the trump card. Now, that's something that goes completely up against our North American individualistic culture. I mean, we are individuals. We can make our own choices. We can do what we want. No people, not my family, not my church, people can't tell me what to do. And that's right. We can't tell you what to do. But part of discernment is saying, I trust the community that I'm a part of, that when it comes to what I'm feeling individually versus what the people around me are feeling, if it's a conflict, ultimately we need to defer to the community. And that's why you see within the Anabaptist tradition that we kind of did this when we chose elders, but it's more prevalent in our history, is that most leaders were chosen by the lot. And a lot of those leaders, if you look at some of the diaries and some of the things that they've written, they did not want to be in that lot at all. You know, their names were put forward, and they're like, this is not me. I'm not qualified for a leader. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be an elder. I don't want to be this, that, or the other thing. But the community called them forth. The community said, we see these gifts in you, and we're discerning this gift in you, and we want your name to stand. And our history is full of people who submitted to that will, completely against their will. I remember reading about an article about a guy that was in the lot. And he went through the process and immediately ran to the bathroom and threw up because it was so agonizing for him. He didn't want to do it, but he submitted to it because that was the community's discernment that he should be that position. And so that's, in our tradition, is it comes down to the individual versus the community. The community has the trump card. Now, I know that goes up against everything that our culture would tell us. But the inward and outward are both very important. And we trust God that inward will come, even if we're not feeling it ourselves. So one, is it biblical? Two, inward and outward. Three, usually when we get the call of God in our lives, it's something we're not capable of doing on our own. It leads us to a place of dependence on God. And I think we heard that a lot this morning with your testimony, Nicole. Maybe that's not so much the call of God, but God led you to a place where you were completely dependent on Him. And that's what Christianity is. That's what God says is like, you know, we need Christ. We need God. We need Him in our lives. We need forgiveness. And when we seek God's face and we seek God's will and we ask God to show us where you want me to go personally, what do you want me to do personally, what do you want us to do as a church, what do you want us five churches to do, the one thing we can be assured of is that when God speaks, when we hear His voice, He's going to be calling us to something that is beyond ourselves. He's not going to be calling us to something like, oh yeah, we can check that off the list easy, no problem, yeah. You know, whatever it is, carve off a check or you know, do this, that, or the other thing. No, if God speaks, He's going to ask us to do something that is beyond what we're capable of ourselves, and it's going to put us in a spot where the only way that this thing can be accomplished is by trusting completely in Him and not our own abilities. So if we're feeling something that we think is a call from God and it doesn't push us at all, that may not be from God. It needs to push us beyond what we're capable of. And I think for the something to think about, I want to keep some biblical foundation to it. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 12, you're welcome to, but I want to read this and just give us a little background to some of this point and some of the other ones we'll be looking at. So this is the call of Abraham. I think this gives a good example of how God's call pushes people. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You will be a blessing, and you will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he went out from Haran. God called him to a place that he didn't know where he's going. It was beyond what Abraham could do for himself. But the call of God said, go. Leave your family. Leave your homeland. Leave everything you need. Leave everything. I'm going to bring you to a point where you can only trust me. Where you're only dependent on me. And then I can use you. So number four goes hand in hand with that. The call of God in our lives individually and as a community is going to require sacrifice. God calls us to a place where we can't do it on our own, and we're going to need to sacrifice some things in order to get there. A lot of that is probably sacrificing our own selfish ambition, our own goals, our own facade of our own strength. We have to sacrifice that idea that we can do it on our own. God, just tell me what to do, and I'll go do it. Maybe that's what needs to be sacrificed. We might need to sacrifice something we've held very tightly to our whole lives, some traditions, some things that we're comfortable with. But when God calls us to do something, we can trust that it's going to involve some sacrifice. We're going to have to sacrifice some things that maybe our friends aren't sacrificing, that some of the people we work with aren't sacrificing. But following Christ requires sacrifice. And when we seek His face and when we hear His voice, whatever it is He asks us to do is going to require sacrifice of us. Not sacrifice in the sense that in the Old Testament, okay, sacrifice at the altar and then you cleanse from your sin. Sacrifice like we're going to have to give something up in order to achieve what God is asking us to do. Number five, and this is clear in the story of Abraham. It's clear in the story of the disciples when Jesus called the disciples that were there fishing. He came up and talked to them. When the call of God comes, we don't get the whole picture. And this is probably one of the most frustrating things. We don't get the whole picture. When God came to Abraham, He said, "Leave the land and go where I will show you." You know, if that was me, the most natural response is, "Well, where is it? You know, can you just tell me where I'm going? You know, Why do you have to say leave and then show me?" You know, God doesn't give us the whole picture. When Jesus went to the disciples and said, you know, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," that's a pretty vague thing. Okay, fishers of men, what are you talking about here? And Jesus said, "Follow me." And some of the disciples, He didn't even say that fishers of men's part. He just looked at them, looked him in the eye and said, "Follow me." Two words, that's it. That's all He gave them. Follow me. Not where are we going, not how long it will be, how much will it cost and how much will I have to sacrifice. That's it. Follow me. And the disciples had a choice. Yes, follow, or no, don't follow. That's all they got. And so when God gives us that picture, we don't get the whole thing. He gives us enough to get us moving. And the whole point is that we need to have faith. The whole point is that we need to be having faith in God for the first step, the next step, and the step after that. And that if God would give us the whole picture and we could see how it's going to work out at the end and we can see what it's going to be like, Then we would no longer need faith. That would just be like working on some project that we can work on. God says, no, trust me in this process. I'll give you what you need. And right now I'm giving you the next step that you have to take. And that is frustrating. That's frustrating individually. And that's frustrating when we talk about corporately, about all this stuff that we're praying about combination. Well, we start asking these questions. Well, what would it look like if we actually combined? You know, how would we work out this logistically? How would we work out it with buildings? How would we work out it with our different traditions and membership and all these so many questions? And we don't have clarity on that. You can ask me those questions. I said, I have no idea. You can ask any of the other pastors. They don't have any idea. But we're saying, is God calling us to this? And if the answer is yes, then we trust that those things will be provided for. We know they won't be easy, but we know they will be provided for. And if the answer is no, then you know, God's calling us to something else, and we'll follow that path. But God doesn't give us the whole picture. Number six, and this goes hand in hand with that, it may be years or even a lifetime before we figure it out. It's going to be a long process. So every step, He reveals a little bit more. But it might be a whole lifetime before we get that whole picture. If you look at the story of the disciples, it wasn't until Jesus died, rose again, ascended into heaven, and they were still confused, and then the Holy Spirit came, and then they got it. You know, this was years they had walked with Jesus, they had lived with Jesus, they had heard His teachings, they had seen His interactions with people, they saw how He was tried, they saw how He was killed, they saw how He rose from the grave, and still they didn't get it. But then the light bulb came on. So it requires patience. Whatever God calls us to, it's going to require patience. And it could be years before we have it figured out. And that's pretty easy to apply to us individually and corporately. Another characteristic about the call of God is a lot of times it presents itself in kind of a nagging and persistent thing that won't go away. And that's what, Ann, you were talking about. You just had this idea. It wouldn't get out of your head. You know, and so, again, we're going down the list of order of importance. There's a lot of things that can get stuck in our head that are nagging and persistent that may not be from God. And so just because that is stuck in your head doesn't necessarily mean it's a call from God. But that's something you need to pause and take some time and think and pray about is, why is this stuck in this head, my head? What is this nagging thing? What is this thing that just won't seem to go away, that has found a resting spot in my heart? What is the importance of it? That might be a call from God. Number eight, it can be ignored. It can be ignored. We look at the story of Jonah, and God called him to go to Nineveh, and he ignored him. God kept calling, he kept ignoring him. And then eventually, instead of actually going where he wanted to, he said, I'm going to go where Jonah wants to go. And he went to Tarshish, or at least he tried. He didn't get there. It can be ignored. We can have all these characteristics. We can have this nagging thing. We can have this inward. We can have this outward. It can be biblical. It can be all these different things. And it is well within our human capabilities to just completely ignore it. And oftentimes, that's the easiest thing to do, because actually listening to that voice is going to be very difficult. It's going to require sacrifice, and it's going to be frustrating. It's very easy just to ignore it and say, nope, not happening. I like where I'm at. I like my comfort levels. I like everything I got going on right now. No, I don't want that. We need to know that it can be ignored, and it's oftentimes easy to be ignored. 1 Kings 19:12 says, after the earthquake came the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. The Lord oftentimes speaks in a gentle whisper, and whispers are very easy to ignore. Because there's a lot of things in our lives that are louder than a whisper. It can be ignored. Number nine, going hand in hand with that, it's never too late to stop ignoring it. It's never too late to stop ignoring it. So you could ignore the call of God in your life for years and years and years, and as long as you still have breath in your lungs, it's not too late. As long as you're still here on this earth, it's not too late. You can turn around, just like Jonah. He had his chances. He got swallowed up by the whale. It wasn't too late. We can see the book how it finishes. He went to Nineveh. He preached the word. It's never too late to heed the call of God. Even if we ignore it at first, even if we don't get it at first, it's never too late. Number 10, the call of God aligns with our gifts and our abilities. Now, I put this lower on the list because a lot of times we don't see those gifts and our abilities. And so if we put this high in the list, we could kind of make it a deal breaker. Say, well, I'm not gifted for that. I don't have that ability in my life. I can't do that.
Well, a lot of times we don't know we have those abilities in our life. We don't know what gifts, we don't know what potential we have within us. I mean, this is what Moses did in the burning bush when God was talking to him. He said, I can't do that. I'm not a good speaker. I don't have that ability. And he kept arguing with God and arguing with God. And we can look down later in Moses' life, we can see he definitely had the ability to be a good speaker. Because if you read the Old Testament, it wasn't Aaron talking to the people of Israel. It was Moses the one that was doing the talking. Even though he had a stutter or something that he didn't think he could get over, God supplied him with that ability. So sometimes it's hard for this one, but sometimes it's easy. You kind of hear this call, you feel a call, you say, wow, that's kind of right in my wheelhouse. I can see how God has prepared me for this. I can see how my last life experiences have put me in a place where I have this ability to live out this call. So we can see that aligning up with our gifts and abilities. Number 11. It's exciting and scary at the same time. I think we've all been in these places where, you know, maybe, I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to jump off of a cliff. I've seen Caleb do it. That was fun. And you know, when we went up canoeing, you know, when you get to the edge of that cliff, that's pretty exciting. You get to jump in the water and it's fun, but that's scary too. Like, oh boy, what if I over-rotate and I land on my back? That would really hurt. It's exciting and scary at the same time. And that's kind of what it is with the call of God, is when we get that call, you know, it's exciting. Like, wow, God has called me to something. God has seen me worthy to do what He's asked me to do. And I get to go on this journey and adventure with God. But at the same time, like, that's scary. What if I fail? What if I can't do this? Where is it going to take me? So it's exciting and scary at the same time. Number 12, it may bring criticism. We need to contrast this with the other one. The second one is that you need to have that outward confirmation. So there may be people confirming this in your life and saying, tapping you and say, that, yeah, we see this ability in you. I see this call of God in your life. But there's also going to be people on the other side of the coin that are criticizing you. Why would you do that? Why would you give up X, whatever X is, a good job, your home, your family, your career? Why would you do that? Well, why would you? Things were going so smoothly for you. Things are going fine the way they are. Why would you do that? So criticism comes with following Christ. Whatever God calls us to, we can expect some criticism. Now, Jesus took this a step further, and He said, you can expect persecution. You can expect people to be killing you for this. Now, in our context, it's not a reality. Now, in other people's context, in other parts of the world, that's a very, very significant reality that we need to be praying for. In our context, we can expect criticism. Thankfully, we don't have to expect death. Not out of the question, but it's not a pressing concern. But we can't expect that criticism, because what God is calling us to is probably not the status quo. It's probably not the norm. It's probably not comfort. It's probably not the same way things have always been done before. God is going to call us to something that people will look at you or look at us and have plenty of room and plenty of things to criticize us about. Number 13, it's not something you would necessarily choose on your own. So if you had your druthers, you say, well, if I could plan my life, I would do this. I would move to here. I would have this career. I would have this family. I would have this ability. I would have these hobbies. If it was up to me, this is what I would choose. Now, whatever that pretty little picture is in our mind, whatever the call of God is probably something different. And for better or worse, God probably has something different in mind for all of us than what we have in mind for all of us. Now, the beauty is that whatever God has in mind is better. We think, oh man, I have this beautiful picture of where my life could go, and God's going to call me to something so much harder, but so much better. So it's not like God's just this killjoy and saying, oh, you thought you had these good ideas, well, let me snuff that out for you and see how miserable I can make you. No, that's not the idea. God will call us to something different, something, yes, maybe more difficult, but something much, much better and more beautiful in the end. Number 14, it can involve miraculous signs and wonders. Now, in other denominations, this would have been number 1 or number 2, and now here in the Mennonite Church, we say number 14. It can involve miraculous signs and wonders. I debated about this, putting this lower on the list of importance, because we see God working through this in the Scripture. We see God doing this in the Scripture. But in our time, we see the miracles that we were talking about with Nicole this morning, but oftentimes when we ask for God's will, it kind of comes in a little different way. Now, again, I hesitate with this because I think any time that we hear God, that we hear God in our life and we feel that movement, that's a miracle. But the more rare signs and wonders type thing, it's just not as common. It's not as common. So I put it lower on the list because I don't want us to put it so high that we say, well, if I haven't seen a miraculous sign or wonder, then it must not be God's calling in my life. You know, if I haven't seen, the story in the Bible is that Gideon took off his fleece and he laid it on the ground and said, God, if you want me to do this, I expect the whole ground to be covered in dew and my fleece to be dry. And then God did that, and the next night he said, I want the whole ground to be dry, and I want my fleece to be covered in dew. And God did it. That's a miraculous sign. And that still happens. And it still can happen. It would be great to have that type of clarity. But I haven't experienced God that way. So that's not saying it can't be that way, but I put it lower on the list just because I don't want to be dependent on that, saying we'll only sense God's call if we see that miraculous sign or wonder. Number 15, this kind of culminates the whole thing. There will be affirmation. There will be affirmation. When we go through this whole process, whenever we get to the end individually, when we get to the end of these 40 days as a church, there will be some sort of affirmation. When we make a step, when we take a step forward, there will be an affirmation. Maybe an affirmation that we took the wrong step. Or maybe it will be an affirmation, the opposite of affirmation, we took the wrong step. And so we retreat and we do something different. But there will be, we'll get that as we go on further, will be confirmation and affirmation so we can know that we have that assurance that, yes, we did the right thing. And if we don't have that assurance that we did the right thing, then we just start over and we do it again. And that is how I want to conclude. This is not a point. This is just the last slide, Tim. If you love God, failure is impossible. If we love God, failure is impossible. Yeah, we might get it wrong. Yeah, we might make individual choices that are wrong that lead us down a wrong path. Yeah, we as a church might get it wrong and we might go down the wrong path. But if we love God, failure is impossible. Romans 8:38 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." In all things. It doesn't say, we know when humans act rightly and in perfection, God will work for the good. In all things. In tragedy, as we heard from Nicole, God used that for the good and is continuing to use that for the good. And look forward to hearing about different ways that God will use that miracle in people's lives. It's not something that we would ask for, but God works for it, works through it. And if we have a love of God, it's impossible to fail. It is possible to get it wrong, but if we love God, even when we get it wrong, He's going to use that. It's impossible to fail. That's the greatest assurance in this whole walk with God. When we trust God, when we seek God's face, no matter what we do, we know that there's nothing, absolutely nothing we can do that is going to separate us from the love of God. Neither life nor death, heights nor depths, love, hate, angels, demons, nothing will separate us from the love of God. And we have that assurance that as we go down this path, we can't fail. We can get it wrong. We can make mistakes. But if we continue to have that love of God in our hearts, He will use that. He will use us individually. He will use us as a church, whether we get it right or whether we get it wrong. And so as we look at this whole thing of sensing God's voice, is this God's voice? That can be a tough thing to do. But we have that assurance that if we love God, we can't fail. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for the promises that You've given us in Scripture, and we thank You for the testimony we heard this morning from Nicole and her family. And thank You for the opportunity for us as a church to gather, to pray, and to hear Your voice. And Lord, I pray that as we all continue to seek individually, as we seek as a community, that You would move in us, that You would move us individually to make some choices to follow after You, regardless of how hard it might be, and that we as a church can hear Your voice and be obedient to that voice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us, please, as we close with...